To the Sussex County Council meeting of August 24th, 2021. First thing is the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, we have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Okay, motion for the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We have the minutes of August 10th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, no stand approved. Correspondent, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have two letters. The first is from the Sussex Montessori School, and the second is from Seaford Community Food Closet, both thanking council for the donations.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay, now's the time for public comment. Anybody in the audience wants to address council, you have 3 minutes to address us on something we have some control over. Please come on down. When you start, the green light going to come on. You got a minute left, the yellow light's on, and when the red light comes on, you are over. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, council members. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Francine Panzo, and I'm a homeowner at the Vines of Sand Hill Development in Milton, Delaware. We purchased our home in May of 2020 and were told by the builder that extensive amenities would be ready by the summer of 2021. Other homeowners were told the same thing. Since that time, the developer, Tony Spisato of Spisato Development Corporation, has changed the date for starting the amenities several times. The homeowners discovered that Mr. Spisato was trying to change the original notarized plat agreement that stated the amenities would be completed 2 years after the first permit was issued in December of 2017. As a result of this discovery, in May of 2021, we homeowners were forced to present our concerns to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission regarding his plan to change this agreement into a phased approach to amenities. The commission found he was in violation of the original signed agreement and declared he was to complete construction of all amenities by November of 2022 or permitting of lot 136, whichever came first. The homeowners have subsequently learned that Mr. Spisato has now been able to get a date of completion moved to May of 2023. This backdoor politics cannot stand and should have been made public. In addition, Mr. Spisato and the Spisato Development Corporation failed twice to hold the mandatory annual budget meeting between the Board of Directors and the Vines of Sand Hill homeowners in 2019 and 2020. In July of 2021, Mr. Spisato finally requested we give him a date in October that the homeowners would be available for this meeting. We gave him 8 dates. He has not yet committed to any single one. Nor have the homeowners received any minutes of the meetings of the Board of Directors in accordance with the bylaws of Homeowners Association, which he controls at this point. We as homeowners are very concerned that Mr. Spisato is not being transparent with the homeowners and has failed to meet his obligations with regard to this community, and we feel we will be left with the responsibility of completing what he started. We come before the City Council, the County Council, to make sure you are aware of these circumstances in the hope that an investigation can be initiated or that you may have some advice as to how we may proceed in order to hold Mr. Spisato accountable. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I'll have the Planning and Zoning Director contact you before you leave here today.
Mr. President, can I make one comment?
Mr. Schaefer.
I've been in contact with Ray Naughton on numerous occasions at Sand Hill, and he's the de facto, I guess, head of the HOA, which is to be formed.
He's a member.
Yeah, and the P&Z did give Spisato an extension on building the clubhouse, so. I have been, I just talked to Ray last week, so feel free to call me anytime.
Mr. Whitehouse will be your contact. Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Morning, County Council. Before I get started, I want to make it clear that I was asked to come to this meeting by a member on this board right here. I want to make that clear, that I was asked to be present today. I come here today because of 13404 Beaver Dam Road in the unincorporated area of Allendale in Sussex County. That is, they have not paid their mortgage in 4+ years, okay? They're living there with no electricity and no water, okay? I'm a first responder in this county. For 30 years, I've been a first responder. You're looking at the face of 9/11. I was there. I'm begging for your help. okay? Mr. Costello can tell you how many times I've called his office. Mr. Lawson, you have never returned my phone call, not one time. Mr. Schaefer, you've been out there. I appreciate it. You've asked me not to shoot the dog. One more time that dog comes on my property and after me, it's done. Okay?
I can buy your property as well.
We should have stopped. We're sick of this. They're over there with a generator. They're shooting drugs. They're using drugs. They're selling drugs. They're running prostitution. They got over 25 cars on blocks out there. I've lived in 4 different states and 7 different counties. This is unreal what goes on in this county. Okay? It's unreal. It needs to be suppressed. When I get called to a fire, somebody calls, I react and suppress. Okay? I call. Mr. Costello is the only one reacting, Mr. Schaefer, and there's zero suppression. Now, I'm coming here today because I'm telling you, I have to check my mail, take my garbage out, mow my lawn, and do everything with a .40 caliber weapon strapped to my side. If that's acceptable in Sussex County, I'm doing good. I'm sorry I'm yelling. I threw my whole life in a U-Haul trailer in Florida, my retirement, to come up here and suppress this. I can't sell my house. I'm losing over $3,000 worth of revenue. I can't have horses there. I've got 2 stables unoccupied. I got out of bed 3 weeks ago on an overdose next door to me to save this kid's life. And he gives me the finger every day. And so does the father. Now I'm asking you, I'm begging you. I'm begging you for your help. I'm begging you. I get COVID this and COVID that. I'll give you COVID, 12 months. That's 36 months they've lived on this property. If any one of you want to come over to my house and eat 3 meals a day, I will let you take over my house. Bring your family. We're held hostage in our house. No kids can't play outside. Nothing. It's horrible. I know my 3 minutes are up. I appreciate your time, but how's this going to be suppressed?
Thank you, sir. Anyone else in the audience? Yes, sir, come on down.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm Fran Panzo's neighbor. I just want to expand on her notes a little bit. I've reached out to the Attorney General of Delaware, or we've reached out with no response. That was months ago. I reached out to the Ombudsman in Delaware. They pushed it back to Planning and Zoning, which I went back to Planning and Zoning and asked to have a meeting with Mr. Wheatley or Kim Stevenson. I was denied that because at the May meeting, we weren't allowed to speak and give our point of view. Mr. Sposato has kicked the can down the road. In May, he was given 18 months to get these amenities built and finished. In 4 months, he's done nothing but tag trees. So he has no plans at Planning and Zoning for approval. So that means he has no contractors and he hasn't ordered any building material for a 10,000 square foot clubhouse. Now, if they're not bonded and he goes belly up tomorrow, what assurances do we have that we're actually going to get that 10,000 square foot clubhouse or a knockdown version of 2,000 with a little ranch house and a small pool? So, you know, we've exhausted our, you know, our energy here. Mr. Schaefer has been a great help, but Planning and Zoning mentioned that we come here and speak our piece. So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming. Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Come on down, sir.
Hi, I am William Walton. I live at 707 State Street in Ellendale. My concern is the water district, the pipes are the town of Ellendale declined to participate in the water project. I live in town. We received about 2 years ago a request for permission to enter the property to connect. I called Planning and Zoning and down here, and I wound up talking to the county engineer. It was relayed to me that we could either connect or pay an impact fee equivalent to a 3-member household. So I reluctantly signed a affidavit giving permission to connect. Now I find out that there's 8 residences on my street and none are required to connect. because they're in town limits, that it was portrayed that I requested connection and requested that the line be run to down our street for my service, and that's just not true. So I'm requesting consideration to exempt out of connection without the impact fee being levied until such time that the town accepts county water, and I'd be happy to join if everybody's in town, but it seems that my property has been singled out for connection for as a revenue source or for some other reason to get into town limits. Talking with the town mayor, we're not even looking at the same maps. They're showing the property line going out and around and everybody's property and only showing my property as being in the water district. A 2020 map that I viewed shows there's 8-10 residences in our area that are in the water district that should be in the same boat as me. I'm not advocating you connect them. I'm saying leave me out of this until such time the town accepts county water.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Operator, would you check online, please, for anybody for public comment?
At this time, we have no one on the line.
Thank you. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business today is a presentation by our friends at DelDOT. They're here to give us an update on the capital transportation program. I would invite them to come forward. They have a PowerPoint presentation. Josh, thanks for being here today.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Josh Thomas. I'm a planning supervisor with DelDOT. So once again, good morning to council members. Good morning to the public listening in. Let's see, get the slides loaded up here. Oh, wait, I have the mouse, right? There we go. Okay, we're gonna try to bring Pam Steinbeck on the line. So if you're not familiar, we have a new director at the helm of the Division of Planning at DelDOT. Pam Steinbeck started with us on August 1st. She's not able to be here in person, but we're gonna try to see if she can say hello on the phone to kind of introduce herself, and then we'll kind of get into the program. So I don't know, I'm gonna turn that over to the county.
Yeah, she is online and she's unmuted, so.
All right, Pam, can you hear us?
Good morning, yes, I can hear you guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Wonderful. Okay. Yes, my apologies that I could not make it in person. I will surely do my absolute best to make it next time. But I just wanted to thank you all for allowing me to be a part of this. I'm very excited to work with everyone in the future. And if you have any questions or concerns about anything, my door is always open. So thank you again, and I hope the presentation you find beneficial, and you got to take it away. Thanks again.
Thanks, Pam. So she's probably going to listen in for a few minutes in case we have any questions. But I'm going to keep the slides pretty brief today, but of course you can ask us any questions you have. As you can see on the screen here, we're essentially going to go through real quick and talk about the new CTP, the Capital Transportation Program that's in development right now. And then we're going to have Mark Lutz come up to talk about some of the current projects that are in design or construction, projects that are near and dear to the county that he can give you some big updates and you can ask him some questions. So if you recall, we were here in June. And normally we do this kind of once, but we didn't. Our engineering side and planning side weren't able to be here together. So this is sort of a part two. We were here in June to talk about the candidate projects for the draft's capital transportation program. So we showed this graphic last time. So this is just an update of that graphic. So we have now published the draft capital transportation program, and we're moving down to the public hearing, workshop, written comment portion of the of the program. So just a little bit of an update on the timeline. So the biggest thing that I really want to note today is that, you know, this is hot off the press, is that our Council on Transportation, which is the body, the state body that is you know, responsible for approving our capital transportation program every 2 years now. On August 18th, they had their meeting, and they officially released the draft document. And the thing that I wanted to highlight is that, you know, we have a new kind of web URL there that's a little bit easier to remember. So we just encourage everyone to visit ctp.dell.gov, and you will see the FY, the fiscal year 23 to 28 draft document. So a bit of good news is that the nine projects that we came here to talk to you about last time, all of them were funded in the CTP, so there were none that had to drop off the list due to funding concerns. So that's good news, of course, for the county. You can see we've, you know, that now that that's actually a screen grab from the executive summary, which is like a two-page document that, that just shows you these are the new projects that we're going to that will start design within that six-year period.
Josh,
yeah, sure, yeah.
Grade separated intersection is Del dot lingo for an overpass, right?
Yes, GS. Yeah. So when you see GSI, the name has changed a couple times. So
that's interesting. There's going to be one at Avenue of Honor and Piney Grove. That's going to service the high school there.
Yeah. That. So all of the grade separated intersections are part of Del dot's overall strategy for, you know, corridor capacity preservation. So our 113 and you know, SR1, keeping them as viable corridors to deal with you know, congestion, and making sure that we don't have you know, encroachment and a lot of you know, pinch points and you know, congested intersections. Well, look at that.
Quick.
I'm hitting the wrong buttons, that's why. Let's try that again. Okay, so so like I said, I really just wanted, we don't, you know, didn't want to go through all of them one by one again. We did that for you, but just wanted to let you and the public know that the draft documents are online. We encourage you to, you know, to review those. And of course, the key next step in the process is our public workshops that are coming up. Now, we were planning to try to have an in-person event, but of course, like everything else this last year and a half, things keep changing. So current guidance from the governor's office is to move to virtual format again. We are working on getting that information out. So of course, just follow the website, and of course we will communicate through the wonderful staff here to make sure you have all the information. But yeah, so we are so next month we'll be hosting the virtual public workshops around the state, and everyone will have an opportunity to review and comment on the draft CTP. And then, of course, much like previous cycles, so in November, the public comment period would close. In December, the Council on Transportation would review all the comments received, and they would make any revisions to the draft document. And in February is when the COT was when the Council actually votes to adopt the program. And then that goes to a legislator approval in June. So, and just a reminder, this is a two-year process for everyone listening. So, that's all I had for the quick timeline update. We're going to bring Mark up to talk about current projects. But did you have any questions for me about the draft CTP?
Questions of Council?
Sure.
Well, I was just going to make a comment. Something that came up on the radio this morning. We were talking about this topic on the radio. I've seen a petition online, and a number of community activists have actually signed it. And part of the petition is making this comment that DelDOT has no plan for roads and infrastructure, and that the council has no plan either. And I just, you know, anybody listening in on, you know, we want to say this is the plan. So it's factually incorrect to say that there is no plan for transportation. It's factually incorrect to say the county has no plan. We have a comprehensive plan that's completed every 10 years. So, you know, I guess we're going to have to keep getting this out there so that people can hear it as new people are joining our community continuously, that yes, we do have plans in place. This is the planning process. please step up and participate. So, but it's just because it's a plan, you know, it's still a long process before the road's actually drivable. And
correct. And just to add to that too, you know, we try to come back periodically to update you. We'll probably be coming back in the near future to talk about the Sussex County Long Range Transportation Plan.
Right.
So that, you know, we worked with the county on the mobility element. We obviously publish our own long range plan. We publish the CTP, but we're kicking off this year an actual Sussex County Long Range Transportation Plan, which will be a separate document that brings a lot of things together and actually results in a project list that's fiscally constrained. And the reason why we do that is, well, the reason why we want to do that, you know, over the next year and a half, is because we want the county to have the same level of planning as the metropolitan planning organizations in Newcastle and Kent County. So yeah, that's just, you know, another note for everyone listening that is another thing we are doing to take it a step further to make sure we have that long range focus here in the county.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer.
Hey, Josh.
Sure.
DLDOT has a budget for development and enhancement of roadways throughout the state. Just so I understand, when I talk to people, I'd like to try to explain to people exactly the magnitude of what DLDOT actually does do. You know, people complain about Route 24, but there's an enormous amount of construction going on 24 with
right.
enhancements. But do you know the general number of what the total budget that DLDOT spends every year on enhancements and development of road systems in Delaware? Are you the right guy to ask? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I'm just trying to make sure that I get the right number.
Just close.
And Mark might have to help me too, but you know, I mean, our annual capital budget, which is state funds and federal funds, you know, roughly $500 million. I mean, right? I mean, we're roughly in the, you know, five to six $100 million, depending on, you know, particular year and funding levels, and that's usually like, you know, $200 to $300 million. Federal, and then, you know, roughly, you know, 2 to 2.5 state. So yeah, and then I mean, obviously we can pull specific numbers, but like, just to give you an idea, the 9 projects that are the ones that I showed for the next CTP, that's, you know, $175 million plus of investment. The other thing too is when you try to look at spending between the different counties, you know, the one thing we always say is that it does fluctuate. Because, you know, anytime that you kind of go in and you do a plan for an area, that creates a pipeline of needed projects, and then we fund those. So the funding really does kind of ebb and flow. You know, like, there's, in any given program, the spending fluctuates between the counties, but we like to think that we try to even it out over, you know, over a certain time period, meaning that if we've spent more in one county, then in the next round it would move somewhere else. So, you know, we can see there's a lot of projected funding in the county.
So if it's roughly $500 million statewide, it's going to be about $175 million in Sussex County.
Yeah.
The projects that you just showed.
Yeah, those are only the new projects.
Yeah.
So we've also got the existing, yeah. Right, because if those 9 that we highlighted are really, those are the ones that are coming in sort of at the end of that 6-year period. But we still, as Mark's going to go over, we still have the ones we're currently working on that will go through construction, you know, the ones that are further along. So, but I mean, you know, obviously,
Hey,
sure.
Yeah. Hi, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just pulled up the Council on Transportation presentation slides, and they are going to be available online for everyone to see. But from what I have for FY22, which we're looking at a state capital of $320 million and a federal of $250 million. So it's on the upper end of 5. It's, you know, just kind of 550-ish, 600 million, somewhere around there, and then the rest of that. Our overall budget is for DLDOT is over $1 billion, but that also accounts for operating costs. cost for, you know, for DMV and us, you know, for plows and food, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to.
Well, that.
I apologize.
That does remind me of, I'm sorry, of another question that I get a lot. I try to explain to people when developers come in and make proposals on developments, DelDOT takes a look at that and they say, okay, we'll support that project, but you need to build or improve the roadway in, you know, with Excel lanes, de-Excel lanes, signals, whatever. And DelDOT collects a fee for those proposed improvements. Is that, am I correct?
Yeah, there's a couple ways it can work. It can be a fee collected, or they could actually build the improvement, you know, for us. But, you know, that is, obviously, you know, it's complicated based on the scope of the development, right? But depending on the scope of the development, that would determine the level of improvements that must be made. And our development coordination section within the Division of Planning handles, you know, tons of reviews all around the state for that. And, you know, if it's not in a, so we have the Henlopen TID here in Sussex County now, which is a great, you know, success of our, you know, our partnership here. So, like, if it's in the TID, then there's just that fee. It's really simple. And there's a whole capital plan for the whole area. And, of course, if it's not in a planned out district like that, it would be, you know, looking at our, that team looks at all the developments kind of coming in and tries to determine which improvements need to be made. And if there's kind of multiple coming in, then it may be like a you know, they may pay a share of an improvement. But yeah, it's definitely it definitely does happen that, you know, those improvements do happen, but it is very sort of site specific.
The TID funds that are collected from the developers, you know, that's a set fee. Mm-hmm. Do they go into a separate account, or they go into the general, I guess, general fund like the other fees collected?
So they go, you know, if I have this correct, they go into a separate fund for that TID, meaning like they can't be used.
Okay.
Right, but each TID is a specific agreement. And so, like, not, you know, each district is not the same. So there's a cost share there. So whatever the developer's portion is, goes into that separate fund. And then when the project is prioritized in the CTP, then DelDOT will put forth the, you know, our contribution. Now that does come out of the general trust fund, but yeah, the funds in the TID are not being spent on other TIDs.
Right.
So one of the examples is the Mulberry Knoll Road extension that we just showed, and that's one of those nine projects. That's a TID project. So developer contributions will go towards that project.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any more questions?
The previous secretary had stated that something in the ballpark of $1 billion would be spent in Sussex over the next, I believe, 5 years. So is that still on track, still accurate?
Well, I want to verify it, but if you add in all the things we're doing, okay, yeah, I'm gonna bring Mark up. He's working with the projects more day to day. He could answer for us.
Is it 20?
There you go. 4 years.
So it's not a complete straight answer on that, because we have standalone projects like the ones that Josh was talking about,
right,
and some of the ones I'm going to talk about, and then we have statewide programs. It's a little bit harder for us to pull out where we spend the money on the statewide, like our paving program. So that's one of our biggest programs in our CTP. That's one line. Now, obviously, we have it broken out in other areas, but and a big roll up of the standalone projects from fiscal year 22 to 28, it's $1.2 billion in Sussex County. And that doesn't include everything. So again, that doesn't include some spot safety projects, some spot the paving projects. That's like, again, these bigger projects that we're talking about is $1.2 billion in those 6 years.
1.2 over 6 years?
From 22 to 28.
They're averaging $200 million a year.
Whatever the math is on that, sure.
Yeah, so that's a lot of money. A lot of money. I mean, I think the comment she made at the time was that the complaints will start getting her about orange cones rather than not spending money. So, well, I might rather deal with those, I guess. I don't know.
we get the complaints both ways, that we're not spending enough and we're doing too much. So.
Right, for the wrong time.
Yep. So, any other questions for Josh before?
I think we're good.
Good for that. All right. So, were we going to give this handout out now or later?
If you don't have it, we can give it out.
Oh, did we give the handout out, Jen?
Okay.
Okay, got it. So you should have a handout with the Del Dot logo on the top. So what this has in it is a list of...
We do not have it.
Josh is handing this out. So it's a list of the projects that are actively in design. So again, these are much farther along in the process than the projects that Josh was just talking about. So the text in the first four, five pages... these are projects that are in design. I'm not going over all these.
Thank you.
And then the last three pages, this is called our implementation plan. The last three pages, the table, this comes right out of our, also out of our capital transportation plan. So this shows the new projects in green that Josh was just talking about, as well as all the other projects, both the projects that we're currently working on and the ones that were in previous capital CTPs, but we haven't started on yet.
So is this ranked, like Cave Neck Road, is that, that's number one?
There's no ranking on the on the text one.
Okay.
The table is ranked based on on the ranking system that is built into our process. So again, I'm not gonna go over all these. I'm gonna just pick and choose a couple that I think you might be interested in. Obviously, if you have any questions either now or if there's questions afterwards or if I can't answer, we are happy to get back to you. So a couple of the highlights of the projects we have actively in design right now. So the first one on the list, Cave Neck, Hudson, and Sweetbriar. That one is of particular interest, I think, to the county, as this is our first FAST Act project, where it's the joint venture where the county is paying up front and will get reimbursed later on to advance this project through our process much more quickly than it would have otherwise. I don't remember what the exact date was, but I think in the original CTP, we weren't supposed to start design on this until 25 or 26. And so we are starting in design already because of the partnership. And ironically, I had a meeting on the way here. I was only calling in, of course, on my hands free, to talk a little bit about the alternatives we're looking at that intersection, set of intersections, as I think you're probably all familiar. It's an awkward set of triangle intersections there. And we'll be ready to come back and talk to the county more about that and about the options that we were looking at probably in October. We were hoping maybe more for the end of summer, but we're a little bit behind. We're looking at a couple more things than we were previously looking at. So probably in October, we'll be ready to come back and talk to the county more about what we're looking at for that project.
Mark, can I ask you a question about that?
Yes.
When you say construction completion 25?
Yes.
That whole job's going to be finished in 25 or just the construction design?
No, that would be construction. That's the intent, is that the construction be complete. Now, that being said, every date we ever give you is tentative.
I understand.
Because
the
process is very complicated. Don't want to bog it down, but environmental, utilities, right away, public comments, it all, everything's tentative. But our current schedule, we would hope to be done, open to traffic in 2025, where again, if we didn't have the FAST Act, we would, I don't remember the exact date, but we would definitely just be in design in 2025 if we didn't pull it up.
Speaking of design, do you have any idea where the design is? Is the design work completed?
On this one?
Yes.
No, we've just started. We're looking at the options right now. So it's, we're looking at concepts, different ideas. We're looking at roundabouts or traffic signals and how many turn lanes you would need to improve the safety and the operation. So that's what we'll be ready. I think in October, we'll be ready to present some options to the county.
So in the FAST program, Del Dot actually hires the engineer to do the design work?
Yes.
Unlike a design build where you'd have the contractor hire the engineer, do the design, submit it to Del Dot for review and approval?
We could have done this in a design build fashion. We don't do a lot of design build projects. We usually try to have a strong reason why we would do design build. So in this case, it's not. It's design bid build. It is run, it's being run completely as like a normal Del Dot project, except for when we get the bills, we're sending them down to the county, and the county's paying the engineering fees at this time. And again, I don't remember Todd probably knows better than I do, the exact mechanisms, but the county then gets paid back in the future.
Yeah. Well, this project looks like it's moving along pretty quickly,
yes.
Which is a good thing.
Yes.
But in the future, does it make any sense to have DLDOT say to the county, you contract with the engineer, you design the project, we'll approve it? Does that help expedite the process at all if you did it in a true design build type fashion?
So I don't know if contracting it through the county would make it any faster. Again, I don't know that, if anything, it might be slower because when we got going with this one, we used one of our open-end consultants who we already had an agreement with. We had already selected them. We have several of them on board already, so we were able to get them up and running. And you know, they had notice to proceed within a month, I think, of when the FAST Act was, or the agreement for that one was officially signed. So if anything, we were moving pretty quickly on that.
Right.
In general, design build, there's pros and cons of doing design build on any transportation project. It generally can get things done more quickly, but you have to have a very defined scope of work. Like, it really needs to be a pretty clear scope of work, or you know, I can't hire a contractor when I don't even know what I want to do yet. And for this location, I don't know exactly what I want to do yet, or we don't know what we want to do yet. Again, it could be a traffic signal, it could be turn lanes, it could be a roundabout, it could be realignments. So until we really have a better handle on what we want to do, we wouldn't want to be in with a contractor.
If you got this in front of an engineer in 30, 40 days, that's, you know, you can't do any better than that.
Right. Agree. Right. Yes. So this one is moving along nicely.
Yeah.
Good. Like I said, I'm not going through all these. I'm just going to skim over a couple. I think you're all just outside of town here to the east. The Georgetown East Gateway project is well underway. We just opened up Airport Road the other day, and that project's moving along nicely to be wrapped up early next year. Staying in the Georgetown area, Park Avenue Phase 1, so the relocation of Park Avenue to line up Park Avenue with Aero Safety Road and improve that whole stretch from 113 until it ties back in with Park Avenue. The design is complete on that project. Right away, is we're right on the cusp there. We're going to likely advertise that for a contractor within the next month. So that one's, we'll have the contractor on, and we should have dirt flying on that one hopefully by the end of the year.
Any chance of renaming that to Wilson Boulevard?
I defer to the county on the names of roads. So if the county would so choose to change the name of the road,
we'll have to discuss.
We would be happy to do a plan revision to change out the signs.
A lot of discussion people about addressing down there.
Yes, exactly. So Route 24, somebody said it earlier, we have a lot coming on Route 24. A lot going on already and a lot more coming. So the section from Mulberry Knoll to Route 1, that's moving well along. It's in phase 2 of construction and it should be complete early next year. The next section back, so from kind of west of Plantation to making that four lanes to west of the schools, that will, design is almost done on that, and that'll be in construction next year and complete in 2023. And then we have a bunch of intersections I think you're all aware of, and we even had a separate public workshop to talk about all the work we have coming on Route 24. So Camp Arrowhead and Angola, that's gonna start up by next spring. Mount Joy and Bay Farm, that's getting ready to go out to bid for a contractor, so that should be under construction by the end of the year. And Long Neck is in construction. So we have a lot going on Route 24. Another highlight I want to make is the Route 1 grade and Route 16 grade separated intersection. Apologize for, we used to call them, I don't know how we came up with that term, but yes, overpass. So Route 1 and Route 16, the last signal stopping you between Main and Five Points. We are happy to move that project forward. We're going to be getting that out to bid within the next month. And so we'll be getting that grade separate intersection under construction probably early. If we're not in construction by the end of this year, it'll be early next year. And we'll start, you know, working towards getting the as Josh mentioned, part of our long-range plan, talking about plans again of the corridor preservation and maintaining the capacity on Route 1 and Route 113. I think everybody knows that's the about the highest crash location between Dover and Lewis, and we're going to be very happy to get that one into construction shortly. The only other one right up the street there, we do have a bridge project on Route 1 over the Broadkill River. That's been delayed due to various material delays. So that project should be going into construction this fall. And again, that's a bridge rehabilitation project on Route 1 there. So I think we're going to be able to keep the traffic impacts out of the busy summer season. But that is another, that's a sizable bridge project in the area. So again, there's, you know, five pages of projects. If you have any other questions, I can take them. The one other project on the that I didn't mention in there that I did want to mention that's in that we're just starting design on, so we don't even have like a project website up for it yet, is the Kings Highway project going from Route 1 into Lewis, into the Lewis area. That project just started design. We're looking at, that's a dualization project, making that four lanes, and we're looking at how we're going to do that, what the size of the, you know, how big the shoulders are going to be, where we're going to put a multi-use path, how we're going to control traffic at the intersections, whether it's traffic signals or roundabouts or whatnot. So I believe we'll be ready later this fall for probably a public workshop on that project. So we do have several other things that are kicking off design kind of right now. And we do have a lot going on. We talked a little about the numbers. And so I think that was, I've probably gone on longer than I wanted to, so I can open it up to any questions.
Question, Council?
I do.
Mr. Riley?
Two things. The Millsboro. What's going on to help out Millsboro? And then also, where do we stand with the study for the TID potentially down in the Route 54 southeastern corner of the county?
Sure. So Millsboro, we have two major projects, which some will be broken up into more. So hopefully it's on here. The North Millsboro Bypass Project.
Yeah, it's on here. I saw it.
Good, because I'm not finding it very quickly here. On mine, it's near the top of the second page, but I think I might have printed mine out. So North Millsboro Bypass Project, so a new two-lane connector road from 113 north of Millsboro that ties in west of Mount Air. So kind of a northeast quadrant bypass of Millsboro is well underway in construction. In fact, right away is progressing. And that project, we're going to do that in two different construction pieces. We're going to do the grade separated intersection at 113 and 20 will be one part of the project. And then the roadway and the bridge over the waterway there and tying back in east of town will be a separate two separate construction projects, but they're both planned to be open by the end of 2025.
And how about traffic through on Route 113?
So we do on. So did you on 113? Mm-hmm. You said yes. Yeah, so 113, we have a widening project, so to add a third lane through Millsboro, and that I believe starts up next year, if I have that correct. The design starts on that next year.
Is that on here?
That's on the table. Okay. Yes, it's number 10, right? Number 10, so it's on the first page.
Oh, good.
And PE starts in FY23, so about a year from now, design on that starts. So
is that an extra lane north and south?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, through town. I don't know the exact limits, but certainly getting the main crunch point is the Route 24 intersection.
Right.
So
it
gets through that. So between those two, we think that'll make a big difference in the Millsboro area because, agree, that's, you know, outside of the Route 1 right at Rehoboth, you know, through the outlets, that's probably the next
biggest choke point.
Correct. Yeah. Right. And then your other question was about the Route 50.
Southeastern.
So I know we've done several studies.
Jen's got it.
Jen, do you want to speak towards
that
one?
I think that the study is...
So good morning, Jennifer Sinelli Miller for Dot Planning. We are still running the Southeast Sussex study that is okay. Initiated last fiscal year, starting again this fiscal year. We're hoping to be out to the public this fall. Everything's kind of coming this fall.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. We are coordinating efforts with Sarah Coakley, who's our TID manager, who is in meetings with county right now. There's a lot to talk about in regards to that, but our study, our Southeast Sussex study, is going to inform that TID.
So there's kind of, I understand, two potential areas that they're looking at, and they're going to determine if either or one of them meets the criteria.
Right. So our study picked up where the 54 corridor study left off, and we're looking at kind of the movement and flow of traffic around that entire area within that triangle of 2017 and 54.
Right.
And all those roads where we've put signals recently, I think Bayard was one of them. So we're going to be coming out with a lot of information. So again, to the public this fall.
Mr. Riley, we provided DLDOT planning staff, Sarah Coakley, with information related to some of the planning tools that we use, state spending, sewer tiers, and our comp plan information so that they could help formulate an area of interest.
Yeah, and that's the 54-20-17 triangle, but then there would be the 20 all the way up through Millville area that hopefully we're looking at too.
Sarah has multiple areas that I think she's looking at the time and still working with county to kind of suss all that out. They're going to take the data from our study and be able to kind of really pinpoint where the TID probably should go.
Right. Good. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, sure.
More questions to council?
I have a question. I don't know if it's related to this topic this morning, but do you have the Five Points intersection? I think we heard the last time you were here that got pushed back to any sort of redevelopment of that in front of Lowe's.
So the like Route 1 and Route 9 itself.
Yes.
So that that intersection itself is not anywhere on our radar at this time.
Okay.
Right, Jennifer or Josh, coming out of so we have the Five Points Working Group, which had a lot of recommendations.
Yep.
And I don't recall. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. It is one of the recommendations. So the working group and of course the project team for that is essentially just working on the sequencing for all those studies. So it's considered a long-term study at this point, only because we believe that there are several things we can do in the area that might have more benefit than tearing up that intersection again. So it's still on the list. I don't know, Jen might have, did you have a schedule update for?
The Five Points intersection itself. So in October, we're gonna have Shantae Hastings, who's our chief engineer and deputy secretary, do a presentation on that intersection. What I keep telling the residents is we needed to come in and look at what needed to be done to get everybody who's there moving on either side of Route 1. Right, because if you can't move on either side of Route 1, we can't pull that intersection to do improvements. So we had to do everything else first. And so that's where it's kind of going. So she is going to talk about we have not put that project off, but that's the reason it's not in this current CTP.
Well, Jen, can I have one other topic?
Sure.
Way off, but really on the spot. Do you guys have the pedestrian bicycle bridge over Route 9 in Cool Springs on your radar at all? Or? To get over there at where the Hudson Park is on.
Can I jump in?
Yes.
We're both on the same, on the land trust together. And at the last meeting, they mentioned that Senator Coons may be earmarking some money for that in the infrastructure bill that there's proposed. So.
Good news.
So that's
that was that a private effort, right? That's why
it's actually a federal.
Mark was a little confused.
I was aware of a private effort there. There's definitely nothing in the CTP yet.
Yeah, that, and it's a federal road, so that may be why they don't.
And we
that.
And we do have our trails. We do have a plan on how to get the trails across Route 9 at signalized intersections without a bridge. But that would be with a pedestrian signal and a crosswalk. It would not. So there is a plan if that bridge doesn't come in on how to. I don't remember the exact route, but there is a plan to make the path go all the way from Georgetown to Lewis, even without a bridge. So that's currently what our plan is. If this bridge comes to fruition, that would be
all right, great. Thanks a million.
More questions? Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Three.
Thanks.
Mr. Lawson.